Now on The Pulse, useful and healthy information for you and your family. It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio and the Northeast Delta Dental Team.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe here we are, mid-July, July 16th and 17th, depending on when you're listening to this show. So if you're listening to this on Sunday, you know the Bill Lutie Road Race occurred yesterday at Memorial Field in Concord, and the coach himself, Bill Lutie, was there. If you're listening to this on July 16th, by the time you listen to this, the gun has already been sounded at 9 a.m. But the Bill Lutie Road Race is the seventh of the eight Capital Era Race Series races, the last one being in a couple weeks from now in Canterbury called the Woodchuck Classic. And that race is very interesting because you start a mile downhill and you end a mile uphill. So the mantra is you'll get your fastest and slowest split right in within the same race. Anyway, I want to thank all my running friends for participating in the Bill Lutie Road Race and all of the Capital Era Race Series races. We've been fortunate the last few weeks. I've been able to fill in for Ken on Fridays, and last Friday's show we had a great guest in Judge Broderick talking about change direction and the importance of mental health awareness. And then the gentleman that put on both the Loon Mountain Road Race a couple weeks ago and the Cranmore Mountain Race last week, Paul and Chris, we were able to interview them as well, and also Gene Brown from the Prouty. Mm-hmm. The rain basically held off, so I did the 50-miler. Of course, it raises money for the Norris Cotton Cancer Center at Dartmouth-Hitchcock, and that was done really well. So there's obviously a health connection and what we do, wellness and so forth. And, of course, as everybody's heard me say 7 zillion times, you can't have good overall health without good oral health, or I kind of shorten that sometimes at the mouth is part of the body. Many times we've had Dr. Shannon Mills, Dr. Mitch Corray. We've also had this weekend's guest, Dr. Randy Tillman, with me as well. Randy, thank you for joining me this weekend, July 16th and 17th, spending still another weekend with Tom Raffio. So thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
Glad that you're here. So when we've had Dr. Mills on recently, we were talking mostly about a Previsor, which is the software which powers a new engine that we have called Health Rural Wellness, which basically I'll summarize a bit. But when you go in for your cleaning, if you're a Delta Dental subscriber, and even if you're not, your dentist who's participating with us will have the hygienist put you through a series of probably 5 minutes worth of questions. And from that, a rubric, a systematized software can figure out if maybe you need a third cleaning. In my case, my score was 3, so I was able to sign up for a third cleaning, and the hygienist applied adult fluoride varnish right during my visit, all covered by Northeast Delta Dental. And for my finance type people out there, we have determined through some very rigorous pilot testing that, yes, well, certainly we're paying out more in preventative claims dollars in the first couple of years. That's actually what we want. But over 3 to 5 years, it's actually cost neutral because you're not having maybe some of the gum issues and crown issues. However, more importantly, it's better oral health. So because if I need adult fluoride varnish, then I need adult fluoride varnish and, you know, I should get it. So that's my story and I'm sticking with it. Now, Randy's topic today is, this has come up when we've had Randy before, kind of sometimes the misimpressions of pregnancy and oral health in terms of, you know, x-rays and things like that. So let's start with the basics, Randy. Why don't more pregnant women seek oral health care during their pregnancy? Now, you're a grandmother and a mother. I'm sure being a dentist, you knew better and you went to the dentist. But why is there still kind of those misperceptions out there, do you think?
It's a really good question, Tom. Unfortunately, many dentists still believe what I was taught when I was in dental school.
You were taught this? Oh, my God. I can't believe it.
Just a few years ago, that you're not supposed to treat pregnant women with any elective dental service during pregnancy. And all of that has changed. We know so much more now than we did just a few years ago about the impact of pregnancy on oral health and overall health. Studies show that as many as 25% of pregnant women have some sort of dental problem during the 9 months of their pregnancy. Still, other studies show that up to 60 to 75% of pregnant women have some sort of gingival or gum inflammation. And yet, women are reluctant to seek dental care during treatment because a lot of the old myths. They're afraid that it may not be good for themselves. They're afraid it may not be good for the baby's health. There's still a lot of belief that you're supposed to lose a tooth during pregnancy. That's part of a normal pregnancy. Well, I have news
for you.
People
still believe
that?
It's
not.
Oh, my God. This is 2016, isn't it?
It is 2016.
And if I don't lose a tooth during pregnancy, I'm not doing well? That sounds really bizarre. But anyway, tell us.
It's so much
more
of an issue, Tom, that just a few years ago, HRSA, the agency out of CMS, got a group together, which included the American Dental Association and the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, and asked them to draft a consensus statement on the safety of dental care during treatment. And what they found is that really most dental care, restorative, preventive, diagnostic, even most x-rays and even topical anesthesia is safe for most patients during pregnancy.
So let's bring us back to that science. So why do women who are pregnant, why may they maybe they see more gum inflammation during pregnancy? Why is that?
You know what, Tom? It's blame it all on the hormones.
Uh-oh. I've heard that for other things, too. But
that's what we women always say, right? It's a good excuse. And most times it's right.
Women are always right. I know that. But go ahead.
And in this case, it's definitely so. The pregnancy hormones depress the immune response, and it's specifically the T cell response. And so what happens is the gums become more permeable, and it's easier for bacteria and other irritants to get into the gums. And at the same time, the gums are less able to build a defense to keep the bacteria out. And so what happens is pregnant women are more prone to inflammation. So the same bacteria that you and I may have in our mouths, we have a better system for fighting it than do pregnant women.
I'm probably going to ask this question after commercial break because sometimes we have listeners that come in and out and they're driving and so forth. But you sort of touched on it earlier, but what specific dental procedures, if not all of them, are okay during pregnancy? And please emphasize the radiographs or x-rays as well.
Yeah. Recent research has shown that preventive care, diagnostic care, restorative care are all safe during all months of pregnancy. Also, most dental radiographs are safe during pregnancy, as is local anesthesia. Now, a word of caution to this. Many elective procedures can be postponed, but really, and many dentists and physicians will choose to postpone elective procedures. But research has shown that there really is no harm to administering routine dental care during pregnancy.
What about some of the medicines that are prescribed by the dental office, maybe things like penicillin and amoxicillin, what's the status?
Those have found to be perfectly safe during pregnancy. In fact, this joint commission that I talked about between the American Dental Association and the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology published a list of medicines, and they specifically identified which drugs were safe for use during pregnancy and which were not. And the common ones that we think about using in the dental office, most often the antibiotics like penicillin and amoxicillin, are perfectly safe for use during pregnancy.
Now, we'll get back to pregnant women after commercial break, but fast forward. Now you've had the baby, and we touched on this the last time you were here, but when I was growing up, and even when I had my kids, the kind of a rule of thumb was age 4, but we know that that is also not true. So tell us, I'm a new mom, I have my baby, everything's great. When should I bring my baby to the dentist for the first time?
Well, there's a program called From the First Tooth. And a lot of us believe that an infant should see the child around the time that the first tooth erupts, which is age 6 months. I would say it's anywhere between 6 months and 1 year. Most organized dental associations will recommend that the child see a dentist by the age of one. And interestingly enough, this recommendation has been out there for a long time, Tom, probably for about 20 years. And still, it's hard to get a lot of young parents to accept this change in procedure. And I say that because I had the issue with my own daughter, who even
I
though
cannot
I
believe that you're a dentist and your daughter didn't know this information.
Well, she didn't trust it coming
trust
from her mother.
I see. Well, that always happens.
That's different.
With us dads and moms. Right. So part of that may be, too, I mean, don't you believe now that there's a better cooperation between pediatricians and dentists? There's no rivalry. I mean, if a pediatrician, if the mother's bringing the baby to the pediatrician may at that point say, you know, now go make your dentist appointment. So there's much more cooperation and communication. Don't you think that
absolutely
help?
Much more so than there's ever been. As you said, there is recognition that the mouth is part of the body and that what happens in the mouth can definitely impact the rest of one's health.
And I know my dentist friends are saying this, you know, it actually, if you think of it, I mean, it's we're doing this for our health reasons, but it's also good for business because the pediatrician is saying to the mom, now go see the dentist. There's no rivalry. If anything, you know, that means that the toddler is going to see the dentist much earlier. Because, again, there was some notion out there it's like age four. But really, I also close my speeches with you moms, you know, get the baby in there by, you know, age one or as you said, when the first tubes are the rest. I always say that, Randy. Don't worry. I'm not giving out any misinformation. So are they... Are they teaching this in dental schools now, too?
Yes, they are. They are. Luckily, we've come a long way, and we know a lot more about the relationship of oral health and pregnancy and oral health and you know, infant health. The infant health, and we can talk about this after the break if you want. It's a very interesting exam, and we can talk about how
Definitely.
One examines a six-month-old child.
I love it. Okay, so we'll get to that as well as how thinking has changed about treating pregnant women in the dental office after commercial break. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. This weekend with me is Dr. Randy Tillman, who is our dental director at Northeast Delta Dental. She's come up from Massachusetts and loving it here. She's been with us now several years and now has a full-time position as Dr. Mills, who you heard from 2 weeks ago, is now full-time, really making sure that the whole world understands the Previsor software, which we want that to be the standard throughout the United States that dentists and hygienists use when they're doing an exam and a cleaning. So Dr. Mills is flying around the country, visiting dental schools, visiting the American Dental Association. So Dr. Randy has taken over his position at Northeast Delta Dental and is doing a great job. So let's start with one question, then we'll get back to the well child visits as well as prenatal visits. Is it true that poor oral health in pregnant women, has that been linked to any issues such as low birth weight babies?
You know, Tom, it's really interesting that you asked that question. Several years ago, there had been some research which suggested that there was a relationship between poor oral health in pregnant women and both low birth weight and preterm babies. That research has since been disproven. So, in fact, we now believe that there is no relationship between poor oral health and preterm birth or low birth weight babies.
So when did these newer studies come out?
Probably in the last 5 years, I would say. What made it so difficult is that a lot of the risk factors for poor oral health and for preterm babies and low birth weight babies are the same. So if you look at smoking, if you look at poor diet, you know, poor nutrition, poor management of one's health, those are all risk factors for both low birth weight babies and poor oral health. And so it was hard to distinguish which was which. But we now think that there is not a cause and effect relationship.
Now, before the break, though, you did say that pregnant women do seem to have an increase in gum inflammation. So while there may not be the relationship between bad oral health and low birth with babies, there obviously are reasons for a mother to be to continue to see the dentist, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. 60 to 75% of women have some sort of gum inflammation as a result of pregnancy. And as we said earlier, it's all the hormones at work.
All right, I'll have to use that line. But in any event, tell us about prenatal visits as well as the toddler visits.
You know, we were talking before the break about the greater interface and collaboration between medical and dental. And we really see that when it comes to the prenatal visits. If you think about it, an obstetrician sees a woman on an average of 13 times during the 9 months of her pregnancy. That is a wonderful opportunity to do some education about lots of things related to both the mother's health and the baby's health. It's an ideal time for an obstetrician to talk about good nutrition, to talk about oral health, to talk to the mother about how to take care of her health, her oral health, and how to take care of the infant's oral health. So we're trying to capitalize on these opportunities that already exist within the system. We're trying to spread the word among those healthcare practitioners that are seeing pregnant women on a regular basis. And after the baby is born, there's something like 11 well child care visits before the age of two. Once again, we have a lot of opportunity for pediatricians to communicate the message about good oral health care, the importance for both the mother and particularly the child at that point.
So you had mentioned earlier there's much better cooperation or communication between the pediatrician and the dentist. That must bring a smile to your face, given that your own daughter didn't believe you for a while.
Yes, that makes me very happy. She was told that she didn't have to bring the children to the dentist until they were age three.
All right. Well, let's circle back and sort of reiterate what are some of the common changes that may be noticed in a woman's mouth during pregnancy. So I think self-awareness is critical, obviously going to the dentist, but I think self-awareness is important too.
You know, the woman, pregnant woman is more likely to see what we call pregnancy gingivitis, which is gingivitis is really just an inflammation of the gums. So they're more likely to see an inflammation of the gums. Sometimes they may see growths on the gum, which are usually benign. They're not cancerous. It's nothing to worry about, but they still need to be managed and somebody needs to take a look at them. We may see increase in tooth mobility. We see tooth erosion sometimes, Tom, and that is erosion of the enamel because, as we know, one of the signs of, or symptoms of pregnancy is nausea. And so if you have a woman who is throwing up repeatedly, there can be some erosion of the enamel on the teeth. And so that's something else that needs to be managed most likely by the dentist during the 9 months of pregnancy.
So I know almost we had four kids, like clockwork. She always threw up like exactly at 3 months. So if that happens or more frequently, does the woman write at that point? Should she gargle, brush her teeth, go immediately to a dentist? What should she do at that point?
The best thing that she can do is to rinse her mouth with a combination of water and baking soda. The baking soda will neutralize the acid that's produced in the gastric secretions from the nausea.
So grandma was right with baking soda? That's what my grandmothers both said. I always thought that, you know, I couldn't understand that, but that's true, huh?
Well, it's true in this case. Yeah, absolutely.
That's the old wives' tale. You're not going to tell me that leeches are good, too, are you?
That I'm not going to tell you, Tom.
And that my barber can pull out my teeth?
No, I don't think so.
We've progressed. That's good. Let's, as I said, I want to kind of get back, and some of our listeners go in and out depending on their chores on Saturday and Sunday, but or church or whatever. But what are the specific dental procedures, again, that are okay during pregnancy? I think it's really important to reinforce that.
Sure. Well, actually, most dental procedures are okay during pregnancy. So we're talking about preventive procedures. So we're talking about cleanings, certainly diagnostic procedures, having the dentist perform an oral exam, even restorative procedures, even fillings, silver fillings and white fillings have been proven to be safe during pregnancy. X-rays are also safe. As long as the appropriate body shielding is used, you know, the lead aprons that we all have come to love in the dentist's office. even most of the medications that are used in the dental office are safe. So antibiotics, penicillin, amoxicillin, local anesthesia are safe for use during pregnancy. And most of the other medicines prescribed by dentists have been shown to be safe. And there is a list which lists which medications are safe during pregnancy and which are not. And of course, our recommendation is always that if there's any question on the dentist's part, consult with the treating physician, consult with the OBGYN, and make sure that there are no extenuating circumstances of which we should be aware.
Now, if young moms haven't been to a dental office recently, I know sometimes when I'm mentioning to this expectant moms, and they may have other toddlers, oh my God, how do I get to the dentist? The other kids are crying and screaming and running around. But I know when I go to my dentist, which also has a pediatric section, there are kids everywhere. So I'm assuming dental offices now are really accommodating to the siblings that might have to stay in the background while the newborn is being handled.
I have gone with my daughter to the dental office once I convinced her that the boys needed to go before the age of three, and they had video games or those arcade games, and I'm telling you, the other kids had a great time while the older son had a great time while the younger one was being examined by the dentist.
Perfect. So then that also helps in general that you know, that going to the dentist can be a pleasurable experience or a fun experience. I know, and you know this, we've actually talked about this with you and Dr. Mills and Dr. Curry, but even when an employer pays 100% of the dental premium, so basically the employees of the employer are paying nothing for dental, the most we can get is like 90%. You know, of the employees to actually go to the dentist, even if it doesn't cost them anything for preventative stuff, and oftentimes for blue collar employers, it's like 60-70%, and white collar like 80%. So, I think part of that is, you know, people, they can be young invincibles, but it can also be maybe you had a really bad adverse experience when you were, you know, when you were a kid and you don't want to go back to the dentist. So that's all changed.
I mean, that's all changed. I think we're so much smarter about handling children these days than we were. My daughter was telling me about my 5-year-old grandson who really had some fear of the dentist. And the last time they went, the dentist came in, didn't have his white coat on, just came in and said, "Hi, how you doing?" Established a relationship, talked to him before they started doing anything, before he started the exam or did the cleaning, you know, kind of established rapport. I think we've gotten a lot smarter about child psychology.
And we've had Dr. Mitch Crayon, who is a master at handling small children, and he explained how he works with the mom, and it sounds, you know, really inviting in terms of that it's not as bad. And I think that, you know, that's important because and with my other hat on, I'm on the board of Early Learning New Hampshire, and we know these adverse experiences as toddlers stay with you your whole life. So, you know, we have to make sure people understand that the experience with the dentist is actually pretty cool now. And of course, the other advantage is, of course, at least when I was growing up, there wasn't fluoridated water. So, you know, I have a lot of amalgam fillings. I have 4 kids. They grew up with fluoridated water. Obviously, I was having my kids brush and floss in between visits, and they don't have any caries. So their experience with the dentist at this point is basically cleaning. So they've never had to even think about the drilling part of it. And even that now is so cool. It's not nearly as bad as when we were growing up. So we have about 30 seconds. Put your crystal hat on. What do you see, anything future in dentistry that you see that you can encapsulate?
I think we're going to see more collaboration between medical and dental. I think what we're seeing here between pregnancy and oral health is just a snapshot of what we're seeing in the larger picture.
And that's going to be needed because, unfortunately, oral health disease is still like the number one or two reason for lost work days as well as lost days at school. Dr. Tillman, we'll have to have you on again. Thank you for joining me this weekend.
Thank you, Tom. It was my pleasure.
Tom Raffio will return next week with more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio.